It's time to wake up to the cool side of the pillow. Podcast, that is. While not an actual pillow, it serves as a metaphor for the playgrounds of our collective subconscious. Cool Side of the Pillow is a show about dreams, not goals or aspirations, you sillies. Rather, a show that delves into dreams of listeners, just like you. So keep listening, dreamers. Our resident experts, and I use that term loosely, Josh and Vince will do their best to navigate listener-submitted dreams while providing insights and, dare I say it, a dash of fun. Please, just try to enjoy it.
On today's episode, Vince and Josh try to save the show. Plus, we hear from one listener about their reoccurring dream and their possible pending fate. And another dreamer tells us about hanging 10 while they're asleep. All that and more today on Cool Side of the Pillow. La 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 la. Little dab here, wipe there, also here. I like this little bit. Ooh, not that dab. Chef's kiss. Mwah. Let's make it European. Ah, la 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 la.
Huh. Put all the empty jars of hot fudge in the trash. That's a lot of mashed up ice cream boxes. What are you painting, Vince?
It's a mural of the greatest podcast duo ever. Josh and the other guy. It'll come to me.
Vince.
Yeah?
That's you.
I know, and you're you. Congratulations.
Moving right along.
And that's my favorite song. I'm spraying right along.
And that's looking super fancy.
Spraying right along.
Please mind all those streaks. So, besides painting this beautiful mural, what have you been up to? You know, since I tried to quit the pod and you pulled me back in.
Oh, you know, a little bit of this, too much of that. Steering off course, course correction, of course. I was the superintendent of the podcast, and everything I did was superintended. It was actually the darkest time of my life. And then you came back. And I owed it all to you. But yeah, it sucked. I duped the audience and ruined some equipment and was stress eating.
Okay, so a typical Tuesday afternoon for you. Let's check some emails and see if we, you know, have any merch sales or, you know, sponsors or whatever. Maybe even some well-wishers. Wow. You signed up for a lot of newsletter and promotional things, it looks like. But a few seem actually a little bit legitimate.
The more the merrier. I'm all about that content.
What's this one, Vince? What's scallywags?
It's pirate clothes for your pets. I figured the kitties would look sick as little swashbucklers. Yo-ho-ho and a bottle full of fun and a tummy full of rubs.
Okay. What about this one? It's for mouth tanning?
Yeah, La Boca Bronzer, when you need a good base tan in your mouth so you don't just sound foolish when you hit that beach.
I've heard about them.
No, you haven't.
This one could be good. Interpretation Station. What's that one about?
All aboard. Time to learn the lingo of the railways. Boop, boop.
Okay, maybe not. Ooh, here's one worthwhile. I just got an audio message from Trevor.
Who?
Trevor Cromdor. Our best bud, who's trying to keep the podcast alive despite his super unpleasant cousin, you know, Hector, threatening to cut funding on the show.
Oh, Trevor. Say it with me now.
No.
Vor.
Nah.
That Trevor, just too dang busy to leave us a normal voicemail. What a maverick.
Wouldn't it have been easier for him just to leave us a voicemail? Whatevs. Let's just listen to this.
Emailing audio messages is the future, Josh. I've been saying this for hours.
No, you've been getting dizzy off the fumes from that spray paint.
Should one ever dare to command the thunder to cease its cacophony,
Should a butterfly tell a caterpillar it's ugly because it has yet to cocoon?
Cromulent points. Let's see what Trev wants.
Trev?
Let's see what our buddy has to say.
Hey, bromigos. I hear there's a party in the USA. That's a little joke for you. You can use it on the show if you need radical content that's sure to slap. Anyways, chill fam squad, here's some real for real. So from my POV, I need y'all beep game on this one time for a player. My total buzzkill of a cousin, Hector St. John, you know the less chill dude who funds the studio and podcast. Anyways, I wanted to send y'all a smoke signal. Smoke 'em if you got 'em. You know, Rollies, JJs, Stringbows, who's good do's and don'ts, Blizzies, Frizzies, Tizzies, Non-Tizzies, Dealer's Choice, right, my bubs? Any hizzle, Hector, I call him Heck Nerd, because he's not as cool as we are, right? He's going to Zoom call you guys later to go over, I'll just call him his demands. Basically, he needs you guys to land enough sponsorship and merch money, or he's going to pull the plug like a Slim Thug. I'll link up with you broskies eventually, but it's been so hectic between closing deals, comping fields, breaking hearts, making bank, tuning the stank, resin the bank, make money, money. But more money, more problems. Cash rules everything around me. Money. It's a gas. Anyways, best of luck with Hector. Just remember one crucial thing we're dealing with, and we gotta make sure that you...
For full features and access to the recording, please subscribe at the low, low price of $199.97.
Aw, crapsicles.
Shh, hold on. After the nice lady stops talking, Trevor is going to tell us how to deal with Hector.
No, that's the end of the message. We got to come up with like $200 to get access to the rest of the recording.
I don't have that. I spent all my money on meal prepping for the hot fudge yoga diet plan. Hot fudge, ice cream, results.
That explains why the rubbish bin is almost full again.
Do you have a couple baby stacks? I want my baby stacks, baby stacks, baby stacks. Potty, we need money.
We're fucking broke.
All the money I had was invested in the podcast, in this lovely suit.
Oh, nice. When'd you get that?
When I quit the podcast that one afternoon. It was for interviews, and I can't return it because apparently mustard stains violate the return policy. Please leave this goodwill. The other customers are upset, and security is fixing to put a hurting on you.
Been there, done that. Wrote the book, published it, adapted it to the silver screen, where it failed. Then developed it as a made-for-TV movie on Hallmark, where it bombed.
Well, guess we're on our own for the call with Hector. Let's try to settle down and interpret a dream before we have to chat with him, okay?
Hey, cool side. This is Mike. I'm calling in from New York City. I was hoping you guys could help me out. See, I know you guys are good with recurring dreams, but this is kind of a weird case.
I mean, we're all right.
I've been having the same recurring dream since my 20s. It started as a confrontation of sorts. I knew there was a break-in, and then I would panic and wake up, and then that would be it. And then next time I'd have the dream, it would become more lucid because I'd kind of be aware of it. And so I would try and like learn more about it. After a number of times of having this dream, things kind of got pieced together, kind of like Source Code style or Edge of Tomorrow style. So here's what I got. I knew I would be killed. I knew it was a jealous rage. And it usually starts with, you know, somebody breaks in and there's a struggle. And it's an older, stronger person. And I'm kind of a big dude. But there's definitely some jealousy and some screaming, and I have a partner, somebody next to me that I can't really see, but I know somebody's there and they're sleeping. They sleep through it all. I know that there is a large knife that stabs into me.
This is getting heavy.
But it's not a household knife, and it's not like a comical sword, maybe like a machete. The weird thing about it is that all I know is that the number 29 is involved, and I kept thinking that it's going to happen when I'm 29. So I had this dream over and over. But also around age 29, I kind of stopped remembering my dreams. See, in my 30s, I gained a bunch of weight and I got bad sleep apnea. And for a long time, I just didn't remember my dreams. I didn't sleep well at all. But now I'm in my 40s and I lost a bunch of weight. And I've even survived a couple of real break-ins and some serious trauma. But the problem is, the dream is back. It's the same scenario. I can't tell if there's a 29 involved or what the weapon is, but there's definitely a break-in and I'm definitely getting killed by somebody out of jealousy. So I figure I've got three options. I can either invest in better home security, or maybe I can like get all my exes together and maybe do like a My Name is Earl thing, just kind of make sure I clear everything up. Or I can gain the weight back on and hope the dreams stop. I don't know. Josh, Vince, what do you guys think?
First off, I think this guy seems like a laugh riot. No, I'm just kidding. He's probably a very nice man. That was the most serious dream we've gotten to date, probably ever. Like, this guy needs actual help, and clearly we're qualified to help him.
We're the right place to turn.
No, he seems like a chill guy. Like, I'd want to get a lemonade with him and put our feet in the sand.
Not at the beach, though. And you bring the sand, Vince will bring the lemonade.
Nope, just sand. Yeah, so that's a lot to unpack. So overall, he slowly was trying to piece these violent dreams together when he was in his 20s. There was some sort of jealous rage. He was with a partner. He was killed, maybe with a machete, which is, that's not really the most discreet thing to like sneak in somewhere and be like, all right, I'm a cat burglar, here's my machete.
Yeah.
But badass weapon nonetheless.
Yeah. Horror movie shit.
When he's 30, he can't remember stuff because he's got apnea and he gained weight. Now that he's in his 40s, he lost weight and he's having these dreams again, which is like scary. I mean, a lot of times I feel like any sort of anything, whether it's violent or whatever it might be, something that like gets you stirred up, gets you scared, gets you nervous, I think it's just something you have unresolved in your life. And your subconscious doesn't quite know how to put into words what it is. So it's like, oh, we need you to feel a sense of urgency or like something's bad. So bah, you're murdered. Wake up. You got to understand, you know, what this thing is. Then I started getting all crazy conspiracy theory, and he's like, well, the number 29, and I'm breaking it down. Well, 29 equals 11. Well, 11 is what? One-on-one. Ooh. So he's got to come and face himself one-on-one and figure out what it is.
Yes.
Because you know that one song by the Smashing Pumpkins, like, the killer is me.
Ooh.
I can't do his voice. And I like Smashing Pumpkins. That wasn't nice. I shouldn't have made fun. But, you know, the killer me. Though I continue.
Despite all my rage.
So maybe the killer is actually him.
Well,
I don't know. Cause he says he's always with a partner. So maybe he has some unresolved stuff with a partner. I think his idea is real bad to get all of his exes together. I don't know what that would be like. Let's cobble together a wine and cheese with a bunch of these women it didn't work out with.
It's like a Frankenstein party of all your exes.
That doesn't seem like it would not be dramatic or any sort of a fight would break out at all. So I think that's not maybe a great idea. And I know he was joking. It's more of like a My Name is Earl, which I have never seen. And I should, because I heard it's decent. Anyways, this isn't a show about shows. It's a show about dreams.
Well, what about the math aspect, Vince?
Mm-hmm.
What's 2 times 9? 18, 1 versus 8, that goes to the girls you're talking about. Like all your, or maybe boys, I don't know. It goes against your exes. That's the 1 versus 8, or it's the 11.
Oh,
it's,
he had 8 exes?
In Texas. So I'm saying.
Or it's infinity. It's an infinity loop. One and eight.
So the other thing he talked about, going from like overweight with sleep apnea to losing weight. I think what you were harking on with the aspect of him being against himself with a one-on-one, maybe there was a internal struggle to be like, you got to lose some weight, bud, or you're going to kill yourself.
Yeah. Sleep apnea is no joke. I've had some friends who've had that, and man, just how serious and somber toned he was through it, which beautiful job, not a knock on him in the least, but like, I feel like my energy now is like, this is a very serious podcast, everyone. There will be no more humor. Josh, please stop laughing. It's not okay. We need to bow our heads and just understand it's a whole new thing. We're going to dress only in black. We're going to have candles while we record. They will be lit. I'll get a pet vulture. Yeah, I don't know. So I just feel like, again, any sort of violence or call to action or something that like stirs up something that gives you a sense of urgency in your dreams, there is definitely something he hasn't dealt with yet, and it's recurring. And yeah, a lot of times your sleep can be impacted if, like, say you have an edible or you have sleep apnea, this or that, you gain weight. There are definitely times when you may not remember your dreams. He might always have this dream. There's just times when he doesn't remember having it. You know, like sometimes, you know, I'll wake up, I'm like, well, I didn't dream at all, but I had a weird thought, or like your mind's still going. Stuff's still happening in there.
Why do you think it's coming back now, the way he said now it's back in his 40s?
I think because he said he lost some weight. So I think
so maybe it's not a weight thing.
No, I think it is a weight thing, but I think not so much as that's the internal struggle he's having, though it sounds like it could be. But I think when he is at a leaner weight, that's when he's able to dream better. That's when the dreams come back. So this only solution, like he joked, is, well, he can just, you know, gain a bunch of weight again, or, you know,
confront.
If he wants to stay trim, there's something he's going to have to like deal with. And I think a silly podcast with two morons with microphones, we're not quite qualified. I think he should talk to like a professional about this, because if I was having this dream, I'd be concerned. I mean, the terror of being like, oh my God, I'm going to die in front of, you know, a partner of mine, you know, in front of my significant other, the guilt that you also feel from like, oh, you know, this poor person, because they're attached to me, they had to witness this. So the whole thing is awful. The whole thing is like, you're meeting your demise. You have the guilt of dragging someone else into something. So if this continues to happen, which it sounds like it is, the answer isn't gaining weight. I think, you know, just talking to someone and being like, okay, what is it? What's going on? What is this machete supposed to be? Why am I getting killed? Does this have to do with, you know, exes or anything like that? Like maybe there's, it could also be something where like, you know, he sounds like a nice guy. Maybe there's just a thing that he has when he interacts with partners that like maybe somehow things don't end up working out. Maybe like a character flaw that you're not aware of and your subconscious kind of feels, but it doesn't know how to tell you like, hey man, you know, read the room with this chick a little bit. Maybe she isn't into this, or maybe she doesn't want you to talk about that, or I don't know.
What are you doing to kill the relationship? Maybe that's a symbolic thing for it too, right?
Maybe that's the thing. I mean, I don't know if he mentioned if he's single now or if he's in a relationship now. That could also play into it. So I really think that gaining a bunch of weight is not the answer. You're only suppressing it. And your subconscious is probably still having those dreams. You just don't recall them because, you know, you're heavier. You have the sleep apnea. You're not sleeping as great. Like I said, too, things like if you take edibles, a lot of times people are like, I don't dream because I had an edible. Yep, that's usually what happens. But so I don't know. And also it could just be coincidental that there were periods in your life that were going well, so you weren't having awful dreams. I have this recurring dream where it's like, I get off my purpose or I get off my mission, and I love talking to people and they'll distract me. So then it's like, oh no. So I think somewhere in there, I have something too that I need to like work on or figure out. And I think this guy also does. Mine are much friendlier. Oh, a party. That's nice. Oh, you're on a boat, a murder by machete. Like, holy hell. Okay, man. So clearly your subconscious is really fed up at that point. I would say seems like it's me. And it's like, listen, man, I don't know how else to tell you. There's this thing that you've got to figure out. And the only way I know is through crazy, bloody, wild imagery. So shame on your subconscious. It's not nice. Be nice. Be nicer to Michael.
I think the solution is eat more, but specifically eat more candy, like lots and lots of candy. Because guess what? When that machete hits you, you're like a human pinata and boom, candy everywhere. End scene.
Okay, we're back. The show's silly again. Hooray. Josh saved it. Boy, I gotta ride the trolley to Tinkletown.
Okay, but please be quick. I really gotta go as well. And Hector is gonna call like any second. Shit.
Hold him if you got him. And I'm gonna hold it because I got it. Up to my eyeballs.
My eyeballs are floating over here. Well, gentlemen, let's skip the pleasantries and get right down to brass tacks.
I've never really liked either of you, and I don't understand what my try-hard little cousin, Trevor, sees in you two. But
see? Trevor. Told ya.
Dude, shh.
What's that, little man?
Nothing, Big Papa.
All right. Before we even started, I had my fill of this call, and you two ass-butts tuning up the joint.
We're sorry, Hector.
Did you just clear your throat at me?
Not at you, sir. I was a bit verklempt.
Well, grab your grapes before they become raisins, because it's time to harvest the goods, and I'm looking for a nice bottle of wine.
I like all the pretty words you're saying, but I'm not sure what they mean.
He's talking about wine. You know, the terroir, the aroma, the bouquet, the mouthfeel.
Cork it, you two. You two morons and microphones with resting piss face. You know what you are? You're a couple of tum-tum ticklers.
What are tum-tum ticklers?
Tum-tums are all thumbs. You ever try to tickle with just your thumbs? It's impossible, and so are the two of you. Bottom line is there is no bottom line. It's the hard line, my line. It's a fine line. So fine-tune your show, stop holding in your pee, and make me some sponsorship money. You have four more episodes to produce some results, or you two cock-cleaners are going to be canned.
Canned? That was jarring. I like pickles. I like eggs. I like beets.
Yes.
I like toast and jam. We're gonna lose our podcast. I'm sure gonna miss you, man.
Oh boy, this is serious. Did you just pee your pants?
Yes, and so did you. Those who throw stones shouldn't throw pee-filled balloons in glass houses.
Agreed. And yes, I did pee myself. But not as much as you.
Well, it's not a pissing contest.
All right, let's clean up and then do the next dream. Hey, Vince, I got a new dream, and it's from Lou Dorian.
Oh, yeah, he's the pianist.
Nope.
He is the painter.
Try again.
The psychodeli man.
Sound it out.
Psychedelist.
Very good.
You say it.
What I will say is he is known for over 28 years of personal experience. Lou shares insights for creating a peaceful and fulfilling life through psychedelic journeys.
Whoa, says he's undergone hundreds of extreme unguided trips to macadamia.
No again.
Oh, he trips on special macadamia nuts.
He does not. But he has undergone hundreds of unguided macrodose trips of his own.
Whoa, now that's what I call a resume. You're hired, sir. When can you start?
He's not applying to work here.
Oh, so then this isn't just a really long resume, but it's his book.
He does have a book, and his book is The 8 Root Fundamentals of Becoming a Psychedelic Guide by Lou Dorian. Hey, Vince, how do you find him on social media?
It's @_psychedelist_.
Or at his website, which is psychedelist.
You said it.
.com. That's spelled PSYCHEDELIST. Now, let's get to his dream.
So this is a just sleeping dream, and in the dream I'm in Hawaii with my father and a friend of mine at the time named Aaron that I used to go to the beach with sometimes, surf. We're in Hawaii, I'm dying to go surfing, and so we're looking for a spot to go surf, and a strange thing happens. Instead of going to the actual ocean, to the Pacific Ocean, to the beach there, we go to this...
Be more specific with the ocean.
Inlet, and I'm saying it's Hawaii, but it's not at all geographically correct. I just Makes have sense. A feeling we're in Hawaii. We're in a tropical island that's very similar to Hawaii, but it's not a real place. And
Narnia.
We go to this like lagoon, and there's a bridge, a very tall like freeway bridge off in the distance across the widest part of the lagoon. And then inside of the lagoon, like closer towards more of the shallows and the beach, are 6 concrete platforms. And on each one of the platforms is a giant ornately wrapped present.
It's like Whoville.
And there are waves coming, and the waves that are crashing through this lagoon, they're forming way outside beyond the freeway bridge. And also each of the pylons of the freeway bridge, there's like a 100-foot tall palm tree. And these waves are coming and they're like 100 feet. They're all the way to just under the, you know, roadway of the bridge. And they're not disturbing the bridge. They're not knocking the bridge down or anything. But they're like, these waves are like 100 feet tall. And there are men out there surfing and they're weaving in and out of the pylons and around the palm trees. And there's a fear in me. There's no way I'm going to go out there and do that. It looks just insane. And so
yeah, don't do
those
it.
Waves break and then do what's like a reform. If you've seen that in the ocean where you have like an outer reefer. Cloud break, easy. They might call it. And then it'll reform into another set of waves. And then sometimes those will break and you might even get a third set. Like, and these are reforms.
Oh, reform.
And I'm comfortable surfing the reforms. So I surf the reforms and stay there. And I get this feeling of I should not open one of those presents. Like there's something taboo, forbidden. That's just, there's a feeling of leave that alone and just be happy with surfing the waves, which I am. I'm overjoyed. I've always been just loved surfing in the ocean, the water. So I'm so happy to be there. And so I left the presents alone. So we surfed there a while and then we left. And my dad, you know, picked us back up. And, you know, me and Aaron were in the car and we drive into town somewhere. And then there's like this tennis court area. And on the tennis court, there's this concession stand selling treats. And they're selling all kinds of like goodies and candies and pastries and cream puffs and stuff. And so I get this, I really wanted some sort of treat because I guess I was sort of tempted by the presents and I had exhibited some self-control. So, you know, I ended up stealing a treat. That's the interesting thing too, is I stole a treat.
Naughty, naughty.
My father wouldn't actually buy one. And then I look into the tennis court and there's waves, ocean waves breaking the tennis court, and I grab my surfboard and I go surf the ocean waves in the tennis court, but I have to like jump off the wave before it crashes onto the concrete of the court.
A court is a court, of course, of course.
And that was the dream.
All right, Vince, what do you think?
I was trying to count how many times he said the word surf or surfing, and I can't count that high. Just kidding. That was a pretty deep episode. That was crazy. I also think it's hilarious how, you know, we went into all the preamble about like him being the psychedelist and stuff. And of all the dreams he submitted, you know, we go and choose the one that has nothing really to do with drugs, which is hilarious. But that's okay. That's fine. Good job. Good job in the editing room. Was someone taking a nappy nap in the editing room? Making a night night?
Does somebody even know where the editing room is?
Sorry, I was just in the bathroom. What's going on?
Exactly.
So he said he was in Hawaii with his dad. What I found interesting was he didn't really seem to like interact a ton with his dad, and his dad didn't really seem to talk to him at all in the dream.
Well, did he just drop him off? Sound like his dad dropped him off, then they picked him up and took him to the tennis court. Is that what, did I miss that?
Oh, I'm not sure.
He went with his friend Aaron. His dad dropped him off, I think.
Oh, okay. Now, how old was he at this point? Was he a kid? I mean, I guess we assume
he can't drive, right?
Because he was in a car with his dad.
He can't drive, yeah, right, I guess.
Well, but, you know, he likes to dabble with drugs. Maybe he got a DUI or something. Who knows? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But yeah, let's go with, I think the context is he must have been like a kid or whatever. Because also like with the presents and stuff, like that might be enticing to an adult, but I think children get way more enticed when they see like wrapped gifts and stuff. And they're like, I want it. Whereas an adult would be like, okay, whatever. It's not for me. So it's there. It's fine.
Yeah.
The six platforms was crazy.
100-foot palm tree.
100-foot palm trees. One of them might have been Groot. he wasn't. What I found cool was he wasn't taking like whatever the bait was.
Yeah,
which was like opening the
presents.
I don't
want to give him props for
you
that.
You know, like clearly it seems like there was some sort of a predator or something unsavory or like sinister that was like behind these presents being displayed there and like the dangerous environment. And oh, if you brave these waters, you can get, you know, see what present you get. And I think it was smart to not fall for the bait, to not like, oh, let's go in and see what these presents are and stuff. The weird thing
like
is
the sirens calling you.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, so like the weird thing though is he mentioned how with the concession stand, there were treats and he was so, interested in having the treats because he was tempted by seeing the presents. So it's almost what it reminds me of is like almost like a gateway drug or something. You know what I mean? Like you see something super enticing and crazy, but you're like, no, I couldn't possibly do that. Maybe I'll smoke a little reefer though, even though he was saying reformed.
He got
It sounded
excited.
like reefer. So for me, I don't know, maybe this whole thing is sort of like a metaphor for like a gateway into something else, right?
Right.
So you see the super enticing present that's like you it takes a lot to get there, and you're like, it's there's got to be something off with that. But then when you see just a humdrum run-of-the-mill concession stand, you're like, oh, okay, the stakes are much lower here. So much in fact that I think I'll just steal myself a treat. Like, why not? The stakes are low. But as soon as he does that, all of a sudden those waves come up again. And
Yes, exactly.
I think the waves are something to do with like morality, or the waves are something to keep you from what you shouldn't be doing. Those waves kept people from those giant presents. And as soon as he did something bad, those waves came again. And I think it's just
Very
you know,
ominous.
maybe those waves are just, yeah, the waves just represent morality and making sure that like kind of keeping a watchful eye on him. It's almost like the waves are not like a grim reaper or like a guardian angel, but like some sort of a harbinger or something that's like, hey, straighten out, do the right thing, or we're gonna crash down on you. So,
They're a good visual warning sign, right? Because
yeah,
they
for
came
sure.
back up after he stole. I like how he almost did our job for us. He's like, I knew I was tempted earlier and I didn't take the presents, but then I stole the concession stand treats. And I'm like, very good on he's seeing himself as that he was tempted earlier, and that leads I was good earlier, so now I can be naughty.
You're crossing out your notes. You're like, damn it, he's analyzing his own dream.
It's
Shit.
our
Fuck. There
job.
goes my other
It's
there
our
goes
job.
my next thing. Yeah. It's you know what? We should just if we ever have to go on vacation, we'll just play a bunch of his dreams. He'll
Yeah.
analyze them for us and that'll be it. And
It's on
episode done.
autopilot.
Another one in the can. It's that easy. No, thank you for making our job easy and taking our job from us. That was real nice of you. No, just kidding. I'm really excited. I think this guy's going to be a recurring contributor. And I'm excited for it. I'm into it. I think it's going to be like a neat sort of like a recurring character or something. He'll be like Steve Urkel, but not, the focal point of the show. He'll just pop in every now and again.
Yeah, did I do that?
Did I dream that? Whoops. That was an interesting dream. I really think that maybe the waves just sort of represent maybe like his spidey sense tingling. Like, hey, doing something I shouldn't be here. There's something that's immoral or wrong, and the waves are going to be that sweet, sweet justice that crush down on me and drown me real good.
Yeah, hang ten, big guy.
Okay, I was just hanging one.
Side of the pillow.
La 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 la. Spray that thing. Drip, drip, drop. A little more here, some more there. That's a good bit. Oops, missed a spot. What a masterpiece. Chef's kiss. Yeah, chef. Almost good enough to eat. Num nummers.
Vince, you can work on that mural later, but right now we need to look for some sponsors, or we're toast.
Bread and butter. Toast and jam.
Buddy, it's not mural or song time. Song time usually comes at the end of the episode. Remember, my guy?
I'm not working on the mural.
What?
Don't turn around. Uh-oh.
Holy moly. That's a lot of whipped cream on that sundae.
Yeah, gotta stay trim. You should really join me on this diet. All Sunday fixins, all day, zero guilt.
What kind of diet is it? I think you're being misled.
Remember, it's the hot fudge yoga. Emphasis on the hot. I eat as many sundaes as I like, and I make a lot. so they're super heavy, which allows me to get a good pump on these sick pythons.
What gym developed Hot Fudge Yoga? Cold Stone Steve Austin's Creamery?
Close. Benjamin Gerald's Iced Crematorium and Deli. Then you just put it in your belly and later make a smelly.
That all sounds like hot fudge nonsense, my guy. I'm concerned. You've been eating a lot of ice cream, you know, fixins. And I think you might be gaining an unhealthy amount of weight.
This is just defensive fat. It's a flesh force field, friend, and I fiend for the cream.
Okay. Just maybe go easy on all the unhealthy food. I know you're stressed out, but overeating is not going to help anything.
You're right. Let me get rid of this thing. Huck! Oh no! My mural! It's ruined! But delicious. So maybe it's better. Okay, it's time to be serious. Ah, guess I'm going to try being serious. Try it out. What a neat day.
Vince, we need to find sponsorship. We only had one ad last week, and they paid us in pizza, which I know is the greatest currency, but...
Jesus, please us. That was some good za.
It was certainly reminiscent of pizza and pasta's food. But we don't have any ads for this week. Any ideas?
I mean, you can check the precious emails again. If you refresh, you might unlock the best. The keys are on board, and the mouse is resting in its trap, and you take a monitor of the screen. Will that help? I bet it will.
Wait, I got it. We just need to have more of a, you know, social media presence. That usually works out great for everybody. How about we try out Instagram? You know, we can post interesting pics and videos. That'll get some eyeballs on the podcast. In fact, how about we snap a pic of that mural that you've been working on?
Okay, I just need to make a few quick edits.
Perfect. With all of that ice cream and hot fudge licked clean, the mural looks great. Say cheese, mural.
Edible cheese mural.
I think we're gonna make it after all. Only one thing left to do. All right, let's rally the troops and go get some sponsors.
Okay, Josh, I need a spoon, sir.
For what?
Oh, nothing.
Plumber Mountain.
I'm the thing, y'all.
New Iron Team.
Oh, you? Why?
I'm talking teamwork, baby.
Making that dream work.
I'm talking synergy.
We'll come together now.
It's inspirational-ish.
Nah,
it's motivational-ish.
I'm out of hot fudge.
Keep your eye on the prize.
Eyes up here, mister.
See the shot that you want to take.
Take that shot.
Eagles soar above the clouds.
I like clouds.
Yeah, walk that walk. And talk that talk.
Yeah.
Yeah, hang in there. Be the future that you want to see. Latitudes. It's inspiration. It's coming from me to you, Vince. Vince, what are you doing over there, huh?
No, you're eating ice cream.
Yeah, now let's get down and get busy. Get busy. Get busy. Let's get down. Let's break it down now. Get busy.
Ooh, sorry to pull the plug on the song, but all this talk about being canned and slamming all this ice cream, I gotta go use the can. If you know what I mean.
Everybody knows what you mean.
Mm-hmm. I bet you'd be surprised, though.
I don't like surprises. And please close the door this time.
Okay, but I gotta let out my yoga screams, and the acoustics in the studio are very conducive to the guttural wails of the yoga shits. I mean screams. It's all part of the process. That hot, hot fudge yoga process.
See you next time, folks. Shut the door.
Oopsie.
Thanks so much for tuning in to Cool Side of the Pillow, Season 4, Episode 4. If you haven't already, be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss a dream. Want more? Head over to coolsideofthepillow.com to grab some merch and, more importantly, send us your dreams. That's right, we want to hear your dreams. You can email us at dreams@coolsideofthepillow.com and Vince and I will read it on the show. Or if you're feeling bold, send us a voice message around 2 to 3 minutes or less, and we just might feature it and give it the full dream interpretation treatment. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram at coolsideofthepillowpodofficial for updates, wacky content, and other weird dream stuff. Until next time, sleep tight, dream deep, and stay cool.
I had the craziest dream. You were there. You all were singing.
All right, well, that's great. We don't give a shit because we don't like hearing about people's dreams.
Yeah, let's go. Chop, chop. Come on.
Side of the pillow.